Hello, listeners. This is Darren, and welcome to another episode of The Criterionist, a look at the Criterion Collection one spine number at a time. This is episode 29, so we're going to talk about spine number 29, and that's Peter Weir's Picnic at Hanging Rock. This is a podcast where I spoil everything left and right, so just be warned, I'm going to just spoil the heck out of this movie. Let's get into it. So the film opens, a bunch of schoolgirls are pretty much just getting ready for the day, and we find out they're going to go on this picnic at Hanging Rock, and they seem excited. One girl says it's almost like she's reciting a poem or something. She says, "What we see, what we've seen, is a dream within a dream," and then the film basically opens, says it's Valentine's Day 1990, and then they get ready, and then the girls are warned by the head like dean almost. I don't really know who it is. She seems to be in charge of this school. It says beware of the rock, and then on the way they talk about the rock, and it's very just like mysterious. And but right before they go, even a girl says, I think Miranda is her name. She says, "I won't be here much longer." And then kind of like they don't know what she's talking about. It's very, very spooky, I would say, is the best word for it. Like you know something's going to happen because it's a movie, but you don't really know. But you are worried and tense the whole time. Two boys are introduced. I never actually got their names, but there's an older boy and a younger boy, and they're sharing a drink. I think both of them are underage, but yeah, they're still sharing a drink, and they're introduced. Sarah, another main character, has to stay behind. She doesn't get to go. I never really found out why, but she seems like a rebel, but not a rebel, just they don't like what she's doing. Does not following the strict rules of the school. So she has to stay behind and learn a poem by one of the great authors. So that's what she gets to do. So they're all hanging out at the rock. It's very beautiful. The music makes it kind of creepy. It is kind of creepy, but more beautiful. Somehow it's both. And I think that's a tribute to the cinematography. It's really good in this one. So then the principal's there, her watch stops. Someone is asking for the time, the driver, I believe. He's asking for the time, and it says noon. I guess my watch stopped. It's been noon for a while, and it's never stopped before. Then one of the girls says this weird line, like we're the only... Look, besides those two boys down there, we're the only living creatures left alive. It's very just weird quotes from the entire film, just like that you don't really know what they mean, but you're just creeped out by them. This film is very creepy and spooky. So then eventually a small group of girls, I don't know all of their names. There's Miranda, Irma, and then two I don't remember. There's a bigger girl and then one girl with glasses. And they go off and they're going to go explore the Hanging Rock. So while they're going, the boys are the older boys talking to the younger boys, saying that some of the girls have really nice bodies, nice shapes. And the other boy's like, "Can you not talk about that in front of me?" He's like, "You're not saying it, but you're thinking it." And that's a sort of a theme of the film, I think. All these characters are all buttoned up and going to strict rules, and all of them are thinking about sex, but no one can say it because no one's allowed to, and they're being oppressed from it, from anything near it, like even just wearing nice clothes that aren't buttoned up to the neck. That's a common theme throughout the film. I'll get into that later. So then they're basically climbing this rock, and there's just beautiful, beautiful images, and eventually the bigger girl says it's just nasty. They're like, this is great, this is wonderful of you. The girl's tired, the big girl's tired, she says it's just nasty. Some other girl, a bunch of more weird quotes. They're looking down at the other group, the rest of the group. They're pretty high at this point, and they say, isn't it funny how humans, just most of them, don't have any purpose? And then she goes to say something to the effect of, like, but they do have purpose. They are changing the world. They just don't know it, and it's just so small and almost meaningless that they don't know it. And they'll never realize it because they'll just die and go on, and the world will go on after them. So then these three girls, not the big one, but they seem to be hypnotized. She's taking a rest. She wakes up. They have no shoes on, and they're just walking into this crevice in the mountain, and the girl's just screaming, starts screaming at this point, and she's like, you can't go in there, come back, and just screams this loud scream, and basically just runs back, and there's the helicopter shot, slow motion, where she's just running as fast as she can, and you just hear this scream behind it, very effective. So then we cut to the school grounds, and it's nighttime. The dean or whatever, the person in charge, is pretty worried. They get back. They said, "Why are you so late?" And then one of the teachers or the head people, not the head people, but someone in charge, goes, "We lost three of them and the principal." So then we find out the principal, whose watch stopped, she seemed hypnotized too. We don't see her walk away. We do find out later the bigger girl saw her walking away in only her underwear. So that's just super weird. And so then we go into a search scene. The men are searching a lot of stuff. The police is asking around. They ask the younger boy again. He says, "What do the girls look like? Can you describe them?" Because he finds out he saw them by the river, and the boy's like, "Describe them?" He's like, "Yeah, tell me what they look like." And then this is another moment where this boy can't, he's been oppressed his whole life from anything sexual or like, not sexual, but just like attractiveness or attraction. So he's asked to tell him what the girls look like, even though he's never said it out loud. It's very uncomfortable for him. Then that's when the big girl's interviewed, says she saw the principal walking only in her undergarments. The young boy and the older boy start talking in the next scene, and he's pretty worried about the girls. Maybe he feels like it's his fault, I don't know, but he goes and searches. The older boy comes with, even though he really doesn't care. He's a little older, so he might know, like, these things happen, like, bad things happen, you just gotta move on. That's basically what he tells the younger boy, but the younger boy's too worried, so they go out looking for him. They don't find anything, but the young boy stays. And once the older boy leaves, he just keeps looking. He gets to that crevice in the mountain, pretty much. I think that's where he is. And then he, like, can't enter. Like, the wind, like a force field is there. And he's just, like, on the ground trying to crawl towards it. It's very strange, very spooky, haunting image. But the older boy's looking for him the next morning, I believe. And then he can't find him. But then he finds him right by the ridge. He never entered, and he's, like, beat up. Like, he's hurt. And then he's taken to the hospital. But right before he's put in the cart, he hands the older boy this cloth. And it's you realize, oh my gosh, that's cloth from the girl. So maybe he found a girl. Maybe he just found that cloth. So the older boy goes and... tries to find the girls. He can enter the ridge, which I have just a small theory about that. But yeah, he gets it. He finds Irma, the brunette, and she's hurt too. She's pretty badly hurt. She might be in a coma, I think they conclude. So yeah, then she's returned to the schoolyard. The girls get the announcement, and they're super happy, the other students there. The head person, though, is just so uptight and worried, like, we've lost 6 tuitions. She's telling this other student, like, not a student, but a teacher, we've lost 6 tuitions, and we're probably going to lose more because of what happened. And that's just, like, disgusting. That's terrible. What a terrible human being. And she's just worried about the money keeping her school up, even though, like, three people are probably dead at this point, and she only cares that they're gonna lose the school. So that's just a terrible moment. So then there's a moment where, like, doctors are telling, like, there's two doctors or people, and they're telling each other what happened to this girl. They don't know what happened, but, like, they're talking about her injuries, and her body's fine. All of it's fine except, like, a blow to the head, and then, like, her hands are, like, torn up, and I don't know what that means. but yeah, just super weird. They say everything's in perfect shape, but not her hands and her head. So Sarah, like, in another terrible moment from this, like, dean or whatever, principal. Not the principal, but, like, she's acting like she's in charge because the principal's missing. She might have always been in charge. I don't know. But Sarah's being threatened to be kicked out because her guardian's not paying any more tuition. And, like, first she's told, all your, like, the stuff, the bonuses you have, like, the necessities almost, you can't have those anymore. And then if another few months pass, we're going to have to kick you out. And that's just, she just, like, being treated like garbage in these moments. It's just terrible. And then Irma does wake up eventually. She remembers nothing. And then right after that scene, Irma starts crying to one of the teachers, says, I remember nothing. Next scene, the young boy, he sees Miranda, like, in a vision, and then a swan, which showed up a few more times before, and the swan, like, flies away. It's just a weird scene. It's almost like he misses him or, again, feels responsible, so is having, like, guilt visions or something. So then it cuts to dance practice. All the girls are dancing. Another kind of funny line, just for me, I don't know, just this loud piano is playing and they're dancing, and the teacher is playing the piano, and she's like, girls, you're not dancing right, just listen to the music. And she's just banging this one note, basically. It's kind of funny. But Irma shows up. She's going to go back home and to her family, and then the teacher announces, if you have anything, like, you guys reminisce, hang out a little bit, say goodbyes, say your goodbyes, and then it's quiet for a little bit, and then Irma's dressed in this red, and everyone else is in white the whole time. She's dressed in red, and then they just start screaming at her, like, what happened? What happened? And, like, almost, like, abusing her, like, verbally abusing her to tell them what happened, but we know she doesn't remember, and she's not gonna. So then it ends up, during that scene, Sarah was tied up the whole time so they can control her. And you're just like, oh my gosh, these people are terrible. They're doing terrible things. Then it's told, this is confusing for me, that Sarah is taken away and has gone home. She's been just picked up and taken home. Then in the next scene, the girls all go home. They all go up home in a group, not with their parents. They're going somewhere to be picked up, though. But then the kid in the guard, the one of the people in the greenhouse, he's looking. He's like, oh my gosh, like someone threw rocks in here. What terrible kids. And then he like lifts up a tree branch, and then it ends up Sarah has jumped off a building. And that is how the movie ends. Goes to the head person, says, this man who's found this dead body of this child, and says, Sarah, and then it cuts to her looking at the camera, looking at the guy, but looking at us in, like, shock almost, but not totally shock, and you're just like, you terrible person. Then, like, classic, based on true stories, I think this is not joked, but pretends to be based on a true story. And it says the principal, like, fell down a hill and died. They found her body, but they never found the other two girls. And then that's when the movie officially ends. So that's pretty great. Pretty creepy. Now let's get into some themes of the film. There's one quote that says, basically, all things have an end date. I'm paraphrasing a lot, but like all things must end when they should end, like fate, everything happens for a reason, and there is a timeline that is, I can't think of the word, but there is a set thing that will happen to this world. And you can't stop it, kind of like Final Destination or like, I don't know, time travel stuff. I don't know, like you can't change the future, you can't change the past. Everything is set. That's what they're saying throughout the movie. And this is just like, it's kind of like Final Destination in a way that like maybe these girls missed their opportunity to die. And so now just fate is just taking them. That's one theory I have. This movie was very hard to like come up with something, but I enjoyed it immensely. I'll get into that. Another thing is the sexual oppression. It seems like you can only enter this crevice when you've had sex, and like, if you haven't, it'll be terrible. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I haven't really fully formed that thought. Been working on it, but I can't seem to. It seems like only the girls that have had any relations could go in there. And that's why like Irma was so beat up, and her hands and her head were so beat up. You see how like terrible it is to like not express those feelings. And that's another thing in this movie, like the kid, the younger boy, like can't express the feelings because he's never been allowed to. And it's I think this is a film about not like hiding people from it, like it's the worst thing in the world, because when you grow up everyone does it, and just not like hiding it, like shield your eyes until you're out of the house or whatever. I don't know. That's what I think I saw from it. Just a movie that says don't hide this from people, because they you don't know what's gonna happen or what they're gonna turn into. Not sure why people disappear though. This film is very confusing. I'll get into the conclusion, what I thought about the film. It's amazing. It's absolutely fantastic. It's a little confusing, obviously, from my ramblings just now. This is gold. The performances are pretty amazing. But it's just the weird script and the weird tone and like the weird images it gives off. I love all the quotes. There's a bunch more. I can't remember any right now, but there's just a bunch of weird, like, philosophy quotes that don't really make sense, but kind of do. And I just like the confusing of it. You can watch, it's probably one of those films you can watch and get a different interpretation every time. It's not just about one thing. It's about, probably, from all the quotes, it's probably just about everything. All the problems you can have, all the worries and discussions and theories and just about all that stuff. Like, why does the girl kill herself? Why did they disappear? Why did the principal, the oldest person we ever meet in the school, pretty much, why does she get to go? Why does she end up dying? It's just so, just a weird mystery that is just full of great images, cinematography, quotes, that you just, it flows really well and it's just pretty great. It's pretty good. Yeah, so I think that's all I have to say. You can email me your theories, if you have a set analysis, please email me at darincriterion14@yahoo.com. That's DARIN, criterion, number 1, number 4, @yahoo.com. Follow me on Twitter, The Criterionist, and listen to my other podcast, The Rosebuds, which I have a lot of fun doing with my friend Andrew. This week, I think we're talking about sitcom characters we don't like, and some before we discussed all the Fincher films. I'll get to the game eventually, but in that one we discuss all of them. Yeah, that's a lot of fun, so go listen to that. That's The Rosebuds, Rosebuds being one word. Find that on iTunes. Give it a review. Give this one a review. Positive if you want. Negative if you have to. But yeah, I think that's it. Next time I will be talking about M, Fritz Lang's M, which is one of my favorite films of all time. So that'll be a lot of fun because that film is absolutely fantastic. I think that's all I say. Have a good week, everybody, and bye.